Good evening, everyone. I'm thankful for the presence of everyone here, especially our visitors, and it's good to see some of my old friends from Danville who are here. I'm thankful they're here tonight. So tonight what I want to do is talk about dancing. I know, of course, high school is out right now, and we're in the summer break, but school will begin again in the fall, and hopefully this lesson will help us in looking at the scriptures and see what the scripture says about dancing. What I need the young people here tonight to make a decision on dancing, and not just because mom and dad said so. Whether you're a boy or a girl and you're in public school, you're probably going to be enticed to go to one of the dances. One that's most common that we think about is prom. And someone may even ask you to go to the dance. And the prom is, it's not the only dance that the school provides. There's other dances. There's homecoming and other things like that. And they're not only offered to the juniors and seniors, but they're also offered to other grade levels. So is dancing right or is it wrong? So what we want to do is to make good decisions based on good solid ground, nothing irrational, and we need to decide on what God allows and what God doesn't allow. So first we want to define dancing and the facts. And you know, dancing can be good. The Bible talks about dancing as an expression of joy. Now, God's people dance for joy. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. So what we see here is God has just delivered his people from Egypt. He just performed a miracle before them. The Red Sea, he made it to where they could walk on dry land, and the waters came down, and they swallowed up the Pharaoh's army. And they just got done singing a song to Moses, and of course they're happy and they're joyous. And in verse 20 it says, "Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the timbrels and with dances." Also, if you wouldn't mind, turn to 2 Samuel, chapter 6. Verse 14. It says, "Then David danced before the Lord with all his might." So what we see is David bringing back the ark, the city of David, and he danced before the Lord with all of his might. Also, over in Luke chapter 15, it talks about the prodigal son returning, and there's dancing and music going on there. So what kind of dancing was that? The definition of that type of dancing is defined by the Random House Dictionary, is to move one's feet and body as from excitement, to dance with joy, to bob up and down with delight, or spontaneous jumping for joy. So have you ever seen that before? If you've ever watched any kind of sports, like the NCAA basketball tournament, and you see the winning team, when they win, they're jumping up and down, well, that's dancing for joy. So how does this dancing compare with others, like tap dancing or folk dancing? Now, these have different composure than modern dancing. So what is modern dancing as it's defined? The World Book of Dance History, which is written by non-Christian people, defines it as steps, positions, and movements of modern dance that are designed to convey a message. They are designed to express lovemaking. The Encyclopedia Britannica confirms that to a certain extent. It says that all modern dances are sexually stimulating. Dancing's charm is based on sex appeal. You have to realize that these definitions were not made by Christians. The Bible word in the New Testament is lasciviousness or licentiousness. The New King James Version, the word there is lewdness. And then the New American Standard, it's sensuality. that which creates mental or physical sexual stimulation. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, there's that word there for lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So anyone that wants to practice lasciviousness is described by Thayer as unbridled lust, indecent bodily movement, unchaste handling of males and females. So does this describe dancing? Let's take a moment and think about ballroom dancing. So picture yourself out on the dance floor, and you pick the kind of music you like. It could be rock, hip-hop, rap, or whatever, slow dancing. So the world's definition of what you're doing is making movements with your body that express and suggest, explicit sexual overtones that are designed to excite and arouse lust, to stimulate thoughts and desires that are not fitting. Not only are they stimulating the person that you're with, but what about the other people who are around you that are watching you? You know, you're out there putting on an exhibition in front of other people. And you yourself also may be tempted by the same kind of thinking. There's only one place I can think of this type of dancing would be okay, and that's if you're married and you're dancing with your spouse in private. You're dancing with the person that you're married to, and no one else can see you. I don't think we can condemn that. So young people, sometimes they want to say, well, I want to go to the dance, and it's supervised. But why would a dance have to be supervised? That should tell us something right there. Can lustful thoughts be supervised? Can the supervision that's there, can they keep you from bad thoughts? So what about the young people that want to leave the dance early? Do they need provision or permission from the supervision to leave? No, that can't stop you. And the reason I mention this is because, you know, parents will tell their kids, you know, stay at the dance, don't go anywhere else. But you know some are going to leave and go and do what they want. Another question about dancing is there anything about dancing that influences others that are with you about God? If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. The definition of worldly dancing says it creates lust, does it not? So what are you going to do with that passage there? Someone may say that they're going to go to the dance, but they won't dance. I'll just sit around and watch and talk to my friends. Even the watching may cause problems for some. You may be enticed to do something that you should not be doing. Again, you need to go back to the definition of modern dancing. You don't have to participate in the dance to commit a sin. Watching can be sinful, depending on what it causes you to do. If you would turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. Here Jesus says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So we can commit adultery in our heart just by looking at another person. And it's just not for guys. It's also for women. Women have the same problem also. If you think about back in Genesis 39, Potiphar's wife, how she asked Joseph to lie with her. Of course, he would not. Think about the dance of Herodias' daughter before King Herod in Mark chapter 6. That dance pleased him so much that he offered up to half his kingdom to her. Some people may say they just want to go get their picture taken and then just leave. But just think about how the people dress up for proms. The type of dress that you see people getting dressed up for it and going, and how much of the body is exposed. There's sex appeal in that, isn't there? Also, the problem with taking a picture at the prom and then hanging it on your wall is a few years later, you may have someone come to your house, see you in that picture, and think you went to the prom and you danced. If they think you did, then they may think that it's okay to go and dance. It's a matter of our influence on others. If you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 and verse 6. Here again, Jesus is talking, and he says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." So we need to be careful about our influence on others. Another question for the young people here tonight. So what would you think if your parents went to a place of modern dance and danced with somebody else? Your dad with another woman, your mom with other men. I don't think you'd feel too good, would you? I think you would be embarrassed and you'd want them to stop. And the same goes for you also. So let's take a moment and look at some of the main reasons it's wrong to dance from a godly standpoint. Number one, it produces lust. Lust is okay as long as it's in the marriage relationship, not outside of it. Another point is it's associated with other kinds of evils, like drinking, drugs, and it's a doorway to fornication. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, the passage says, "Abstain from every form of evil." That's every form, not just one, but every form of evil that's out there in the world. Dancing can and will destroy our reputation, and that's a bad influence on others. If you would, take your Bibles and let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and verse 16. Jesus tells us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We need to let our light shine also to others around us and be the kind of influence that Christians need to be. We need to take that serious. Can you glorify God on the dance floor when you're out there? The dance floor is where you put a stumbling block before others. Even if you can do it without lustful thoughts, there's others who are watching you. And what about your dance partner? You may not have lustful thoughts, but your dance partner might. Another point is in Galatians chapter 5 that we just read, it talks about lewdness or lasciviousness. And those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 14, the scripture there, if you want to turn there, Romans 14, verse 21. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. We don't want to make others weak by the things that we do in our life also. We don't want to do anything that offends our brother or causes them to stumble. So parents, don't wait until your kids are older, 15, 16, 17. Start talking about dancing or about going to the prom. Need to start that a lot younger. We want to equip our young kids with the ability to make good decisions. So whenever it comes to that time, they won't want to go to the dance because they don't want to go, not because what you said or you're telling them not to. We need to teach our children while they're young. So tonight, that's my lesson. I'm hoping that will help give us a little bit of insight on dancing and what the Bible says about it. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, you're living in sin, you can change that tonight by having your sins washed away and to be added to the body of Christ, His church. All you need to do is to believe in Jesus, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess His name before men. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins and live your life faithful to Him. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as together we stand and sing.